I'd like to read a verse from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 8, and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Read from Paul's letter to Timothy, first letter, chapter 1, verse 15. Faithful is the word. Worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the first. And then just in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 22. He also that had received the two talents came to him and said, My Lord, thou deliverest me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful bond. Thou wast faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God's desire is that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's how great God's love is, that all men can be saved. All of them. The scripture we read in Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Used to have that text on a cabinet office when I was working. And my boss came to me one day and he sat opposite to it. Not deliberately. And he said to me, you know, that troubles me. I pretended I didn't know what was troubling me. I said, what troubles you? He said, that on that cabinet. I said, that's good news for sinners. And that's the news tonight. Good news for sinners. Not the righteous. Jesus didn't come to call righteous people. But sinners. And God has a purpose in the gospel. It's not just a Sunday evening service. God has a purpose. He wants to save your soul. And only He can do it. And He has a purpose for your life. Those of you who've read about John Wesley, may have read a little article that when he was 5 years old, the family lived in a house called the Old Rectory, and it went on fire. They most got out of the house. They thought everyone was out until they saw little John Wesley at 5 years old in one of the upper windows. And the men in the village who were gathered round to see if they could help, they made a human ladder and saved that little child from the upper window. John Wesley's mother said, he's a brand looked out of the burning. God is plucking brands out of the burning tonight too. The gospel may not go out very, very much longer. Sometimes when we are in the town and we're finishing our session there, I say to some people, because they come and sit around, the same people are there often, week after week after week. And they listen, and that's all they do. And I say, we may not be here next week. In fact, we may never be here again. And they say, why? What's the matter? Because Jesus is coming. And the end of the gospel day as we know it is going to come. The door will be closed. What Wesley's sister said, God has saved him for a purpose. And what a purpose. What a devoted gospel preacher he became up and down the length of our country. I just want to speak simply from this Jeremiah scripture verse that we've read. The harvest is past. Fits quite well, actually, from the time of the year. We've had a long summer, and I'm sure the farmers have had a good harvest. But the harvest is past, and the summer is ended. And I just want to give this a little application. The harvest is the gathering in. God is gathering in to his kingdom. He has said his house will be filled. And one of our hymns says, some guest will be the last. Yet there is room. There's room tonight. The summer, that's the time of sunshine. We've had lots of sunshine this summer. The sunshine speaks to my heart of the love of God. There's been a wonderful shining. Thank God it's still continuing. When Jesus came, it was like the sunrise on this sad and weary world. He went about doing good. One of the words in the scripture, I think in Titus, says the kindness and love of our Saviour God has appeared. Where did it appear? It appeared in Jesus. He manifested the kindness and love of God to all in need. He never turned anybody away. And we can say to you tonight, sinner, if you've never come to Jesus, come tonight, because it's nearly too late. Jesus cleansed the lepers. People, nobody else would go near. He handled them freely. What a saviour. He touched the eyes of the blind and gave them sight. He touched the ears of the deaf and gave them their hearing. He touched the mouths of the dumb and he made them to speak. Wonderful Saviour. He raised the dead. People saw him raise the dead. Lazarus, who'd been 4 days in the tomb. Put yourself in that position. Look at the tomb entrance. Roll away the stone. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. The dead came forth. What a Saviour. What a mighty Saviour Jesus is. The sun was shining. God's love toward man. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love hasn't changed. It's still shining. But you know, there was a time when the shining ceased. Darkness came when our Saviour was crucified and made sin. All my sins were laid on Jesus. I think a hymn writer said, God who knew them. He knows my sins. He knew them. Every one. Every single one. I couldn't remember all my sins, not by a mile. He knows everybody. He knows us through and through. The amazing thing is that he still loves us. Despite ourselves, God loves us. This world has crucified the Lord of glory. And as he hung there on the cross, there came darkness. The sun was hidden. For those hours, those 3 hours of darkness when Jesus suffered, God poured out his wrath. The prophet says, awake, O sword, and smite the man that is my fellow. I should have been smitten, but God smote his son. He put my sins upon him, and he poured his wrath upon his only begotten son, the Holy One. Even Peter called Jesus several times the Holy One of God. I think he was the only person who did. He'd come to Jesus. He'd come in all his sins. He said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He fell down in his presence. I think that's how he learned the Holy One of God. He was so conscious of his own sinfulness. And he felt the holiness of Jesus. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, Lord." Jesus saved his soul, saved him. And he'll save yours tonight. If you've never had a conversion experience, a change in your life, if you don't know what it is to have a personal transaction with Jesus, you can have one tonight. It's not too late. Jesus was put into the grave. And on the third day, he rose again. Wonderful Saviour. He's alive forevermore. Jesus lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Have you got any fear about the future? Open your heart to Jesus. He'll take the fear away. Because he lives. Because I know he lives. You know Jesus lives. Blessed Savior. God's Son. My Savior. Can you say that? My Savior. My personal Savior. There's a lady going by the open air one day, and I said, "I love the Lord Jesus. Do you?" And she stopped. And she said, "No, I don't." I said, "Shall I tell you why I love him?" "Yes," she said. I said, "Well, I love him because he first loved me. He died on the cross for my sins." And all the people were round. And this lady stood and listened. Well, I told her why I love Jesus. It's simple, isn't it? Do you love Jesus? Can everybody here say, "I love Jesus"? There's a lady who comes and stands with us in the town pretty well every week, summer and winter, whatever the weather. She can't write her own name, but she says, "I love Jesus, and I love him too." That's what a lady said to me one day. I said, "I love the Lord Jesus." She said, "And I love him too." And that gave my heart a thrill. But then Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, and they realized now what he'd been talking to them about. And then later on, he ascended into heaven. He went up beyond the cloud. That's where Jesus is, beyond the cloud, at the right hand of God. Sun shone again. God poured out his Holy Spirit, and a new day dawned. And those who were not saved began to get saved through the simple gospel of Jesus crucified and of Jesus raised and glorified. And the Jews, they began to say, "What shall we do? What shall we do? You can't do anything for yourself. Jesus did it all." That's the wonder of the gospel. Christ has done it all. Everything. He said, "It's finished." Mighty triumphant work. Those words that Jesus uttered meant paid in full. He paid in full my debt and your debt so that you might go free. And he was telling us about someone who broke down in the car with a puncture, and some kind person said, "You need a new tire. I'll go with you to the garage." And they put the new tire on the car, and the man disappeared. And the garage owner said, "That man has just paid the cost of your new tire. He paid it all, he paid every penny, and he disappeared. He's gone." Jesus has gone too. He's gone to glory. But he paid the price on Calvary's cross so that you could have forgiveness free, full and free. My sins, not in part, but the whole. All of them, past, present, future, were born on the cross and are gone evermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What did Peter say to the Jews to do? He said, "Repent. Change your mind about Jesus." And they repented. 3,000 people, imagine, 3,000 people in Croydon, Chester, repented tonight. There's a work that's been done and finished that is great enough that however many people, however many thousands, if every person in this world would truly repent, that work is great enough. Forgive them. Reconcile them to God. The great Saviour we have. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Saviour. Wonderful friend. Wonderful love that never will end. Wonderful place he's gone to prepare. And wonder of wonders, I will be there. Will you? You can be if you trust in Jesus tonight. There was later in the book of Acts, there's a jailer in a desperate situation, seemingly ready to take his life. Paul says, "Do yourself no harm." He says, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do?" Paul says, "Believe." On the one hand, we have to repent. God requires that we repent. We change our mind. We acknowledge that we're sinners. Come to him. How did you get saved anyway? If you got saved at all, you came to him and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Saviour." John says, Peter says, "Repent." Paul says, "Believe." John says, "Receive." As many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. It's not too hard, is it? That's not asking for a university education or anything like that. It's not asking for money. Nothing could purchase our redemption. But Jesus. Oh, I love the words in John's Gospel where it says, when the blood of Jesus was shed, John says, and he who saw it bears witness. Thank God there was a witness to the shed blood of Jesus, because God had said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's absolute. Unless the blood of the sacrifice was shed, there would be no remission of sin. The perfect offering of Jesus on the cross and his shed blood means that there's a full and free salvation for whosoever will. So come to Jesus tonight. Have an experience with him. Paul did on the Damascus Road. He was an enemy. Christ Jesus, he said, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the... Different words you use in different translations. One of the translations says, "I feel I am the worst." But I think that's pretty much what it means. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And he saved me. And I know he'll save you. That's why he came, to save sinners. I just want to say a little word now about the purpose that God has in mind for our lives. If you follow the work of Jesus when he was here, you'll see a man, for instance, who was possessed by demons. And Jesus cast them out, and we see the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and sensible. And he said to Jesus, "I want to go with you. Can I come with you?" Jesus said, "No. Go and tell your folk and the place you come from the great things that the Lord has done for you." He had a purpose for that man's life. I make no hesitation in saying that I believe that God has a purpose for everyone, everyone's life. That's why I just read in Luke, the master had given money to his bondman for the time he was away, and told him to trade, use it. And most of them did, not all of them. And when he returned, the one who had two denarius said, came and he said, "Look, I've earned another two. I've used what you gave me. I've used the gift you gave me. And look, it's doubled. This is for you back." And the Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over few things. I'll set you over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Now, we don't serve the Lord to earn our way to heaven or anything like that. He gives us things to do so that we might please him, and that there might be fruit for him, for his glory. You could find many examples in the world. Think of a man like the Apostle Paul, who'd been an enemy of the Lord. He was told to go into the city, and he would be told him what he must do. God had great things for him to do. Not easy things, because he said, "I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Christian path is not an easy path. It's a wonderful thing to follow Jesus. But remember, he said, "If anyone follows me, let him take up the cross and follow me." The cross comes before the crown. Think of entering into the joy of the Lord. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to get this well done. I trust tonight that we might all know the certainty of our salvation, and that we'll come to Jesus and ask him to show us what he wants us to do. Day by day, do something for Jesus. Tell someone about Jesus. What great things. Isn't that a wonderfully great thing what he's done at Calvary? Isn't it a wonderfully great thing that he's done in taking away my sins? Then let me tell people day by day and serve our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.